Today's episode is in partnership with California Love, K-Pop Dreaming. How did K-Pop transcend continents to become the global sensation it is today? Host Vivian Yoon shares the history of how the genre came to dominate the charts and explores her own story of what it means to be a Korean American today. Listen to California Love, K-Pop Dreaming from LAS Studios wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture, one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan, and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley, and I just want to talk about EXO, CBX suing SM over contract stuff. I thought that this was going to be the end of EXO, but it turns out that it's not. Like, they're just suing them just maybe to get public attention and for SM to move a little bit faster on their case. And they're back to work.
They're back to work, but they need to get paid more.
They do need to get paid more.
Or just paid altogether. I think that's the problem, right? Just paid altogether.
The thing was, their contract, they were in like a long-term contract that wasn't fair. The contract, as laid out by SM, started when they debuted, when in reality it's or in their perspective it started when they were like onboarded to the company.
Okay,
like as trainees. Yeah, so they were like, we need to be compensated for this time, and this contract is too long,
and it's inflation has done its thing every year,
right? So
basically, they're negotiating a raise or something.
It literally sounds like that. And what better way to do it than to air this out publicly, in
That's
my opinion.
That's true.
Because I will fight for them. They deserve that raise.
Send a protest truck over to SM.
I'm sure they have protest trucks.
Yeah.
And the only way to do it is get the XOLs to mobilize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. SM needs to feel their power. They need to get scared.
They've forgotten.
That's true.
Anyway.
Overall, I'm glad that they're not leaving EXO.
Well, we'll see. It hasn't blown over completely.
You're right. But... We will see.
Okay, Chris.
Hey, everyone. I'm Chris. Coming to you with my eyes slightly burned from watching The Idol with Jenny Ruby Jane, as her acting name is standing or credited on. It was so funny just to see it's funny to see her full out in that routine, because you know there's always the lazy Jenny videos, blinks don't come for me, I'm like 25% blink, okay, don't come for me. So it's funny to see her full out, but also how aggressive it is. Like,
I
watched the show with my husband and he was like, this is really intense. Like, what are we watching right now? And
I was like, what is it about?
It's like, okay, the way that I'm describing it to people is that it's Euphoria, but pop stars.
Oh, it's Euphoria was very, aggressive.
Mm-hmm. So that's the best way that I can describe it. We're just like following this pop star and she's falling in love with this like club manager who's super dangerous, super like, not evil, like criminal, has a lot of like criminal intent behind him. And so Euphoria, but pop stars. So, she only had that scene, was really the only real scene she had in the show. I think she just invited the pop star to come to the club where she ended up meeting the other lead character. So I'm just curious to see what else her role entails, because they were also negotiating the heck out of this. And I'm actually really curious too, because at Coachella, Jenny performed an unreleased song as her solo. Like, I've never heard that song before. So I'm really curious to see if maybe that set will end up on this show. So, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you, Gabe.
Hey everyone, it's Gabe, and I wanted to congratulate Dreamcatcher for a very successful comeback recently. They released their 8th mini album with the title track Bon Voyage, and it got 2 Music show wins.
Yay.
Good job.
It's like so gratifying because it makes me realize that they're not just a flash in the pan.
Like, oh, Lily, you know? 7 years coming or whatever it is.
I was going to say, is this their first win?
No, this is second.
Yeah, okay.
Their second third, round. Their third and fourth wins.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. And so, what was I going to say? Yeah, like the show champion win, they were crying because they were up against some really stiff competition. Like they had, I think, Queen Card by G Idol was one of the nominees. And then like Aespa, I think was another one maybe. So they, you know, they really, the Dreamcatcher stands really pulled through for them because they won.
Did they go on Weekly Idol again?
Yeah, they went on Weekly Idol. They showed up for the live broadcast.
Yeah.
And then they won the pre-voting. And that was like all of their points.
Yeah, you got to go on the NBC stuff to get that one.
Just broadcast score and voting score is how they won. So good job, Dreamcatcher.
They're doing their due diligence. They're making the rounds.
They're working hard still, so, you know, good for them. And, okay, so we're back with another episode. This time we're going to do K-Bops, one of our favorite series, of course. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go ahead and start with a group that I've never wrecked before, but we've talked plenty about them, and Gabe kind of referenced them earlier today, or just now. My recommendation this episode is going to be G Idol's Queen Card. I'm ready for this. Okay. I'm ready. So, Queen Card is the title track off of G Idol's sixth EP called I Feel, which was released on May 15th, 2023. So, it was a couple weeks ago. But the song is currently still charting number one on Melon and is nominated and will probably win a whole bunch of music shows this week, which is already almost a month out. So it kind of shows like the song's longevity. It fits into the discography of releasing very quirky music and very different music, which seems to have a lot of appeal in Korea. And their very interesting concepts have garnered a lot of attention, especially within the last 2 years or so. But I would argue that G Idol has actually been doing really well, really ever since their debut. And especially ever since their, I would say like their second career after one of the members left. One of the members ended up leaving, right? Because of the bullying scandal. Okay.
Yeah.
So I really feel like after their second, this is really their second birth into their K-pop world. And they have, in this comeback, I think had a lot of expectations on their shoulders, especially after Tomboy and after Nude. So this song is a banger. Like, the song itself is about how people should accept their appearance and realize that really their true beauty comes from just having a lot of self-confidence and just doing whatever the heck you want, it sounds like. And
I love that.
But with that, it's really interesting because while the song is about that, what the song, in terms of what people are saying and the critics are saying, is that the song departs from a standard K-pop song that has deep meaning and that has serious tone, and that the song is really just fun and enjoyable, and it's light and it's funny, and that is exactly what we need sometimes.
Yeah.
So I saw, like, and this is like a recurring thing that I see on Instagram. It's like, you know, sometimes K-pop
is not about is not just about mental health, right? It's just about, like, I don't know, two baddies, one Porsche, or like queen card. Like, yeah. And I feel like this is just what it is, except queen card is way more consumable than two baddies. I don't know why I'm talking about two baddies, but in any case, it is a really fun song. It is actually, and I want to talk about this because I know we have discussed her before, and I'm here to say that I respect and I defend Soyeon in this episode. Episode, what number is this episode? After all these 122 after all these years, I think that yes, she is a little bit controversial and she has a really big personality. I think she can be a little bit prickly, but from what I've seen, she is the mastermind. Well, she is the mastermind behind this song. And what I saw recently was actually she was directing this song during the recording, and the Neverlands have gotta tell us in the comments if she's done this before, which I'm sure she has. But this time around, like, she's very much into like the producing and how the song track sounds with how all the members are singing this song. And I respect how much vision she had for this song. She was like, no, you gotta do it this way. Like with a little bit more like sass and things like that. She's the brains behind this. Maybe
because Cube Entertainment is not giving them brains, that's for sure.
She is the brains behind all of this. Like, this is her, maybe this is controversial. She's the face of the group at the end of the day. So a lot of the members are taking her direction. Like, when you think of G-Idol, the controversy, a little bit controversial, is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And Soyeon is it.
Yeah, I think through all of their hard work, G-Idol's other members have become a lot more, like, famous. And she's not, like, the balance of fame is not so wide anymore between her and the other members.
Right.
And so it now doesn't feel so off-putting that she is, like, the center, the star.
I see what you mean, yeah.
Because that's how I felt before. Like, I just felt like it was Soyeon and Co, you know? Now I feel like it's more G-Idol.
Yes.
And she's like their Taeyong, you know? Like, she's just their center, their star.
Yes.
Their mark, whatever.
Their mark, yes. Yes. So in any case, this song is a banger. I don't know what else to say. It might be my song of the year. I don't know, because it is my most played song right now on Spotify. I don't know how this happened. I've completely been incepted by G-Idol. Like, well, I've liked their music before, but something about this song is just really fun.
It's catchy.
What I was thinking about this song is that it could have either been a really big hit or a really big flop, and it ended up being a hit.
Yeah, I thought the same too. Like, first listen.
Mm-hmm. First listen, it just kind of worked for me. And usually there's not a lot of songs that do that for me. So this was it. In a way that, you know, they always, there's a little bit of chanting in this song, which is really interesting, but it's a little bit lyrical. And it did remind me of what Zimzalabim could have been if people caught on to it a little bit more. But Queen Card just did it a little better.
Yeah, Queen Card is like instant pop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think what did it for me is the music video.
Mm.
The music video is so fun. And I only watched the music video in its entirety prior to this recording. And what I've seen, the clips that I've seen on Instagram have been fun. Like the recreation of the white chicks. Club dance scene. That's so fun.
Yes. And they did it live in a music show encore too.
Really?
So it's like super fun. And they're, G-Idol is on top of the game right now, because when they released, it was like back-to-back weeks of of hard-hitting releases, kind of starting with 17, which, I mean, we're going to talk about in this episode, but huge release from 17, 1 week of dominance, then huge release from Le Sserafim, 1 week of mm-hmm. dominance, then a huge release from aespa, 1 week of dominance, and then we had G-Idle. And I mean, there hasn't been a group that has been able to like really one up them since, mm-hmm. but
Dreamcatcher, well, apparently
on show champion
with some exceptions. Yes, that's true. But in general, no one has really been able to one up G-Idle at the moment. And something that I also appreciated, as we all love on this podcast, is a really fun challenge and a really good choreo. The chorus yes. is so fun. It's so fun to just jump around and just like do dumb things.
Yeah.
Like winner. My winner for the Queen Card Challenge is, and he's been winning all of them, and he's using his platform in the way that he should. Xiaojun is killing all of these challenges.
I knew it. Yes.
He's killing all of them. And everyone's doing it too.
Yeah, he has to work hard for Wavy now that
he won the Chaeyoung challenge too.
They're gonna
he ate that shit up.
Tangent. He's working hard because they're gonna be at KCON.
Wait, yeah. Well, yeah, we did see them in the was it the crossword puzzle or what was it?
Yeah, the teaser. Puzzle.
But tangent, back to Queen Card.
Back to Queen Card. I mean, everyone's doing the challenge. People in the public are doing the challenge. It's just
I just saw the one with Yeonjun from TXT, and it's so funny because I forgot how tall he is, and seeing him next to the members like dancing, he's just so like tall and lanky and like the dance is just it was funny, but I love the challenges.
It's so much fun. Anyways, that's all I have to say about G-Idle. I respect G-Idle. My choice for group of the year last year. So my objective choice. Maybe they'll be my subjective choice this time. I don't know. Go ahead, Gabe.
I will add one thing. So when the first came out, I was like, oh, Queen Card. That's kind of like a weird name.
Yeah.
I looked it up and it's because it's actually like a play on words. So there's a Korean word, Queen Ka, which means like Queen Bee. And so it's like a romanization of that.
That makes sense because the Hangul, I mean the Korean title of the song is Queen Ka, not Card. So that makes a lot of sense.
That does make sense.
Yeah, I was wondering that actually. So thanks for clarifying.
I like the Korean name a little bit better, but
in the song they say Card though.
Yeah.
Well, so I was listening to it and like I feel like half the time they say Card and half the time they say Ka. So I'm like,
I'm gonna listen to it again to see. Yeah.
I think you have to listen closely to
Good point. Anyone else have any thoughts on Queen Ka, Queen Card? Well, all in consensus here. Well, I have one more question to you. I was like, should I go to their concert? Like, they're going to be in LA. Should I go?
Yeah.
I'm straight up going to march there by myself and just like listen to Queen Card and leave.
Yeah.
Yes.
I see if I can cop a good price ticket, maybe.
Yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Aren't they going to be at the Forum, right?
I think they're going
to. Wow.
I don't know. I think they're going to be. I don't think it's the Forum, but maybe. I haven't looked. Maybe. Anyways, okay, Queen Card fighting. Next up, we have Ashley.
Yes, so my recommendation was released on April 24th, and it is by Pledis's boy group 17, and the song I'm recommending is Sonugong, aka Super.
I love my team, I love my crew, 여기까지 열리면서 I love my team, I love my crew, 계속 달릴 수 있어도 I love my team, I love my crew, 여기까지 열리면서 I love my team, 그 덕분에 오래 마치 된 것 같아서
and 13th album overall, titled FML. And this is their B-side. They're like title, yeah, they're the B-side that they're promoting. The A-side that they're promoting is called Fuck My Life, which I just want to point out that cursing has been normalized in K-pop.
Mm-hmm. Post-tomboy.
Really post-tomboy. Where else am I seeing it? I don't know, every BTS concert now. Oh, like, yeah. It's just so normalized, and maybe 2 years ago, this would not be happening, but their album is literally titled Fuck My Life.
Well, it's FML.
It's FML, but their title song is Fuck My Life. It's like, it all means the same shit. Anyway, I don't care. It's okay. Really good. So Super, the Korean title is Son No Gong, which is known as the Monkey God, a trickster god from Chinese mythology and a major character in Woon Cheng's adventure book, Journey to the West. So this character, this monkey god, is known to be a skilled fighter who can outfight the strongest heavenly warrior.
Wow, that's intense. Wow. I didn't know it had that much god. Meaning. Okay.
What's also really funny is that the reason why that the title is Sonogong is because the song is inspired by Son Goku, which is the main character of Dragon Ball Z.
I was gonna say.
What? It's okay.
Super. Yeah. Okay, that makes, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Son Goku, Sonugong, like, I guess Goku was modeled after this monkey warrior god. I don't know. I didn't watch Dragon Ball Z, but apparently this is what's going on. The song, just like the character who overcomes failures and hardships to evolve, we have continued efforts to grow as musicians in the song, a zealous song that will ramp up the energy with its powerful sounds, is what the members said. Some other things about the song is that in true 17 fashion, it was written, composed, and like the lyrics are written by the members. So Woozy, S-Coops, and Vernon are the primary dudes behind this song. What I like about it is two things. I really like in the pre-chorus when they say "Daram darin dam."
Yes, 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 yes. Yes. That is also a K-pop is not about mental health. It's just about da-dum-da-deem-da.
Yeah. It's just a catchy, like, sing song of words, you know?
But which version do you like? Do you like Mingyu's version?
Mingyu's, obviously.
Okay. Well, apparently Joshua does it too. And Mingyu gets all the attention.
Yeah. Because he's Mingyu. But yeah, I like Dadum Dadum Dum. It's just fun. It's catchy and it means nothing, I think. Just words. And I also really like the music video. I like the melody of the song, the arrangement. I really like Asian inspired sounds. And this is giving like a more palatable version of Kick It. I don't know. Like, true. Just Asian-ness.
Yes.
Like, I just like the Asian-ness of it. The music video is more like a performance video. It's really just like them in a big-ass Asian room, like with their backup dancers performing. So overall, it's fun. And I'll leave you with Darum Darum Darum.
I mean, it's excellent.
Yeah.
It's really fun. Catchy. The first time I listened to it, I was working out and I was like, ooh, you know what? Now that I think about it, it almost replaced Make-A-Wish for me. The NCT's Make-A-Wish. You know how I said that that would be my squat song? It almost replaced that. But very, very catchy. I loved it.
Yeah, this is high energy. It's strong. You know, like, it's intense. The choreography is very on point, but that's just to be expected with 17, you know.
Yeah, amazing. It's like a dance crew because there's so many people.
Yeah.
You know, for real. For me, this song, when I first heard about it, when I first heard it, it for me was kind of giving BTS Not Today in terms of it was very aggressive, but it still had like lyricism and like nice melodies at the same time. So maybe not as aggressive as Not Today, but in terms of I feel like it's just going to get the crowd riled up, like at a concert of some sort. So, you know, I thought that they did, I thought it was a good release. And it's now the best-selling album in South Korea ever.
Yes, yes, that is true. The pre-releases have, it says FML, their EP, has set the record for the most pre-ordered album in South Korean history at 4.64 million copies. And this music video, the B-side, is at like 78 million views on YouTube. So 17 is going off.
They're popping off.
Yeah, and I feel a little bit late to the game. Whatever, at least I'm here, right?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, we weren't not there.
Yeah, that's true. I think back to the first time, our first KCON, and we walked into the carrot like fan room. Remember?
Fan chant practice.
Whatever. Like, I think back to that, and it's like, wow, we were so clueless. I was so clueless.
I know they were on the bandwagon before we were, but we have other priorities, you know. Like, we're here standing, you know, Dreamcatcher, NCT. Like, we
AB6. I gotta take care of them.
Right, we had other priorities, but we're here now, you know. And carrots are very welcoming, so we're just happy to be here. Dadum dadim dum.
I saw on Twitter, so the album thing, how they had so many sales. I saw that on Twitter that they were like, apparently there were people who were like mass ordering the albums and just like leaving them.
Leaving what?
The street.
Oh, for like random street people to pick up?
Yeah, just like throwing.
Goodness gracious.
Like, here's a gift. Here's a 17 album. Surprise. Like, you know, finding like a $20 bill on the street. Except it's
nice.
A 17 album.
I mean, it still counts as a sale.
No, but there
were
like boxes of like just like albums that are just like sitting outside.
Like cardboard boxes?
Yes.
Oh, they're so passionate.
Wow. I want one. I want one too.
Give one to me.
The gist of the thing was that like they like people were over ordering so many just to order albums.
Just to mass buy for them.
Yeah, and then just like tossing them out basically.
Wow. Yeah.
I love that for them. Yeah. I love that energy, that passion.
I mean, but really, like, buying albums has really, more than ever, been a sign of, I support this group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is why we're seeing massive sales for 17, but also we're seeing massive sales for girl groups, too.
Right.
Right, like, aespa's latest EP is now the biggest selling album in South Korea, right? And that record won't hold for very much long because every single time a group comes out, like, it's now competition. Yeah. So people are just going to be ordering more and more and more and more. Because also the albums are high quality, like they're good keepsakes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Too, right. Anyways. Okay, any other thoughts about 17 here?
I do have, so previously I only was interested in like Mingyu and DK, but now I'm like, Vernon is kind of,
oh
lord,
kind of bias wrecking me.
That's funny.
I used to not sign on to the Vernon train, but now I think I'm slowly warming up to him.
Getting on the Vernon train.
Yes.
Well, that's Vernon has some good music by himself. Like he has, I don't know, I've only heard songs. I haven't researched like his full album, but he has a song with Pink Sweats that's in, that he does the Korean and Pink Sweats does the English. Yeah. That sounds really good. He also had a moment where he was doing like punk rock, which was a little bit weird, but like I applaud him for trying it, you know?
Ashley.
He's doing stuff, basically.
17 is active. Like they are active right now.
They are.
Like all of them are active, which is very good for them.
Great.
All right. Thank you, Ashley. We're going to move on to Chris's recommendation.
Yes. So mine is a fairly recent release. I believe it came out 2 weeks ago on May 22nd. And this is a revisit because I have forgotten about these children that are not children anymore. I watched their video and I was like, oh my gosh, you're grown up. So my rec for this episode is Bite Me by Enhypen. Remember in Island how Sonu was like always the Aegyo person and he was so good at, no, he's just sex machine now, and I was shocked.
Yes.
Like the facials that he was giving us during this music video. I was like, is this the same kid who was always sick? That Bang PD was like concerned about his health. Like, no, this is not the same kid. So yeah, this mainly the music video just made me realize how far they've come since their Island days. I'm a little concerned about Hee-sung. He's more like sullen than what he used to be.
I think he's just not the face anymore because all of the other members have just blossomed.
Groaned. Yeah, this is true. Yeah, he just seems more sullen and something, I don't know, it's just something feels off about him. But the song in general, it's, you know, there's not much deeper meaning into it. I guess it falls along the lines of it. Sometimes we just need a K-pop song to be light and refreshing and fun. And this for sure follows it. And it's helping them also build upon their theme. They're still going with this vampire theme that they're going on.
So they're the whole, really going in on that.
Yeah, the whole song concept is like, bite me so that way we can be together forever, or we can see if we really should be together forever, something like that. And it's just, but it all falls into this vampire theme, and even the intro to the music video is just them in coffins. Like they're laying down on the ground and then they CGI coffins into it, and so it's they're going at it. My favorite part of the song, Ashley might hate me for this, but I really like the pre-chorus, which is the chanting part where it's like, come and bite me, come and like, that's my favorite part. I don't know why. So yeah, it's just a good feel good song. I'm excited because they announced that they're coming on tour. So they're coming to LA, I think in October. I renewed my NGN membership just so I can get pre-sale tickets. Yeah, I missed the last concert because I had to go to Mexico for my grandma's passing. So I'm like, this time I'm going to go see them.
Yeah, and you had tickets last time, I remember.
Yeah, we had tickets, but I couldn't go. So I'm going, I signed up for the membership, I'm waiting for my pre-sale code, and just so, yeah, I'm excited to see them.
Yeah, I think that, like you said, these boys have grown a lot. They're no longer these babies anymore crying in the ground, you know, they are
crying in the ground.
That's what it was called when they were demoted from the debut group.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they had to go underground and only wear black, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a vibe.
Yeah, so now they're like full-fledged idols. And I think my favorite member in the music video was Nicki.
Yeah.
We stand a shiny backup dancer, okay, everyone.
Yes. No, but it's just his sex appeal. He's just like, it's 2 seconds that he looks into the camera and you're just like taken aback. Yeah. Like, he's nothing but just sex appeal, that kid.
He's 18, y'all.
I know, yeah, no, he's thanks. So good. He has such good charisma. You know, he was in the crowd every challenge. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And somehow he snaked his way up into the debut group because they probably needed a Japanese member and he was it, you know. But anyway.
He's a good dancer too. He is. Yeah.
And he was crying. Like, I still can, him crying every episode is like embedded in my brain.
You know what?
To see him biting his lip and like looking at me with that gaze, you know, like that's a man.
Yeah.
That's a man.
Yep.
18-year-old man.
Yeah. Well, okay, compared to their Island, and then even like I feel like Dazed, Confused, what was their or Fever, I forgot which one was the actual like music video with K in it, but in those music videos you can still kind of feel like the babyish vibes, you know, like these are still kids, like they're new idols, they're getting used to it. But no, in this video they're fully fledged, they full evolution in this music video for sure.
It's funny you say Nicki caught your attention because I really liked Jay.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Why?
I feel like he's just so relatable.
Like, personal?
Yeah.
Because you crying from not getting the part after trying every part? Or, like, how?
No, just, like...
Interviews?
Yeah, just, like, the stuff I see on, like, Instagram Reels and TikTok.
With, like, oh, like the comments that he makes?
Yeah. Just like,
okay.
Like how, like, he's kind of snarky. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like that. So I think I'm going to be, I'm still early, but I think I'm going to become a J star.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Casey will like that a lot.
With the choreography though for this, there was, I saw like some tweets about how the K-Nets were up in arms, or some of them were, because they were like, oh, this choreography is like too provocative with these like female backup dancers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like, I watched some of the stages and it honestly isn't even that provocative, I feel like.
I think it's just because, I don't know, but there is a moment where they're like, each have their own female dancer and they're like, you know, just holding on to their waist like a regular dance. I don't think it was like an outblown provocative move.
Yeah.
I think it was just, for me, I was like, oh, they're actually like highlighting their dancer, like,
yeah, a little bit.
This actual like one-on-one type of dance.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's not like they weren't backup dancers, like how everyone's kind of doing the same move and wearing the same clothes. Like, they were female dancers complimenting their male dancing, yeah, is what it seemed like.
So it's kind of exactly getting like how like this has more traditionally been used in like YG entertainment, like the women are actually in it with
the girl
groups. So like, you know how in Mama's Bay Bay, the choreography for,
yeah, like they kind of touch around and,
yeah,
yes,
like it, yes, yeah, so it's something like that.
Yeah, and they do that with Winner and Icon. They kind of like,
mm-hmm,
go in a little bit more than normal.
Yes.
And then now I'm trying to think back, I don't think they even went like as far as that, and that's not even that far. Yeah. So yeah,
it's definitely not like Sunmi and her backup dancer level.
Well,
or okay. Jenny on the Idol.
I know.
Jenny
on the Idol.
Well, that's interesting. Did anyone listen to the rest of the album by any chance?
Not
I'm
yet.
I'm wondering if there's a I would have just loved to hear a song, and I still have yet to see this in 2023 from a boy group. A boy group that does a title track that's like Cupid. Like, because Enhypen did that with Polaroid Love last year. I'm waiting for a boy group to be brave to do a, what was the type of music that we described this as? In
19?
Was it 19?
Yeah.
Like simple pop, background music pop, right?
Happy.
Happy pop, simple, but like elevated song, fun.
Yeah.
I want to see a boy group do that.
Something that could be like a K-drama opening.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Like for me, this is like a standard boy group release.
Mm-hmm.
Bite mm-hmm. Me, Roar.
Rover.
Rover. It. Like, it's good, but will it stand the test of time? Like, if I'm being very harsh on them, like it probably will not. But it's still, it was still good. Okay, any other thoughts on Enhypen? Were they also in the KCON lineup?
They were not.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Yeah. So maybe they're off doing their own thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Their right. world tour, I guess.
Their world tour, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Thank you, Chris. We are going to move to our last recommendation of the episode, Gabe.
All right, so this time around, I am coming out of left field with this rec, and it is the solo debut of a former Lovelies member, Miju, with her title track, Movie Star.
Action. Acting like a movie star, 거울 속에 비친 난 진짜처럼 보여 나 눈을 뜨면 켜지는 조명 아래 조금씩 조금씩 모든 게 변해가 춤을 추면 영화 속 장면처럼 진짜처럼 보여 나
Miju, former Lovelies member, she released this song Movie Star as a single album on May 17th. And so I wanted to just kind of give a little bit of background because we haven't talked about Lovelies, I think, in detail on the podcast before. So as I mentioned before, she's a former member of Lovelies who disbanded in November of 2021. And then shortly after that, Miju switched companies from Woolim Entertainment to Antenna Entertainment, which is the same company as Sam Kim.
Interesting.
Who's a Korean-American artist. So the company has like a lot of kind of older folks who are under that company. Like there's like a jazz pianist in there. There's like a couple people who like debuted in like the 90s with like some of their work. So I really don't know anything about Antenna Entertainment, but she's there now. And then before her solo debut this year, kind of in the 2 years between the disbandment of Lovelies as the group and now.
Oh, so they're formally disbanded?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, they all left the company except I think one member. And they said it's a hiatus and they're still gonna like, I don't think they like called it a disbandment, but I think it's kind of a de facto disbandment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in the 2 years since the disbandment, she has been a pretty prolific variety show cast member. Like she joined NBC's Hang Out With You, which is like a pretty popular variety show on NBC. And she became a fixed cast member starting in 2021. And she was like really well known to be like funny and chaotic. And following that, in interviews for her solo debut, she kind of wanted to shift her image to be someone who was like, her like music personality was like different than her variety show personality. So that's kind of where she's coming from with this release. Yeah. So some info about the release itself. The album sold about 3,700 copies as of today, and it peaked at number 33 on the Gaon album chart. And then her music video has about 2.2 million views. And then recently she actually is now starting as a host on Weekly Idol alongside B2B's Eunkwang.
Wow.
That'll get her in.
Yeah, she is working hard. She has a lot.
I just looked at the cast lineup for Hang Out With You and there are big names on there.
Like who?
Like the Korea's MC. Like Yuji Suk is on there. Like, so there are big names on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Movie Star is a song. It's kind of like a house disco pop kind of song, which is really up my alley because that's kind of like, aside from K-pop, that's kind of the genre of music that I gravitate towards otherwise. So it was an instant hit for me. And the song is kind of about someone who's wondering if they can become a star, kind of like achieving their dreams. And in the interviews that like were with the showcase that she did when she first released it, she expressed that it was kind of reflective of her own story and that she one day wants to have like her own solo concert with kind of her own songs and stories embedded into it. And so the whole thing was very emotional for her. She like started crying and everything. Aww. So it was kind of a nice like full circle moment because she's like, yeah, I'm debuting like for the second time. And it just like, she said like it's different this time because it's like her own thing, you know. So curious to hear your thoughts about the song, but yeah,
I really liked it. I thought it was fun. I also liked that like EDM house, but it was also very pop, like, you know, like pop star type of song. I just blanked, I'm sorry. She's really pretty also.
Yes.
Like, she is gorgeous. I love her outfit when she's like dancing on the red carpet and she has all the like the bejewels on her, like her freckle bejewels. I really liked that outfit.
Yeah, the music video was really well done. I liked the concept of it, you know, the acting, the different stages that she was in. I liked the cameo from Hyori. That was fun.
I did not even realize that.
Yeah.
You got a Hyori feature? Like, she's making it.
I know. And I didn't know who this girl was. Like, she obviously looks familiar, but I didn't know from where. And now I understand it was from variety shows.
She was on Queendom. So you might have also recognized her from there. Like the original show.
Queendom 1.
Yeah. So she's just like, she had a familiar face, but I didn't know where she was from. And then watching the music video, for her to get Hyori in the in the music video, I realized like, oh, maybe this girl is like big shit and I didn't know.
Like Hyolyn?
Yeah. You're like Hyolyn. Yeah.
You know, I will say that now that I hear a little bit more about the background of the song, it really does, it is in parallel to a little bit about her story. Like, Lovelies was a really big group at some point, but have had to work really hard to stay in this K-pop world, which we know is really rigorous and will forget about you in like a span of a week, right? So I'm really glad that she's doing things for herself and she's making a name for herself. So need you fighting.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like just looking, I was surprised looking at the YouTube views too, because 2.2 million on your solo.
On a solo. Too. Yeah, on a solo. Like,
that's pretty impressive, honestly.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. So.
Anyways, okay. And so the other thing I wanted to add was there's actually, so that she is, I think, the third or fourth member of Lovelies to do solo activities. There's Kay and Baby Soul who have also kind of released stuff. So, I mean, the Lovelies members are, you know, they're out and about, they're doing
things. Trying.
Yeah.
Working hard.
They're working hard. Everyone works hard in this industry at the end of the day. I'm really happy for them. Any other final thoughts as we wrap up this episode? Okay. All right. We got a little bit of everything as usual. So thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We're on Instagram at Idle Talk Pod. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on all of our major podcast directories and streaming platforms. If you have any feedback or content requests, feel free to email us at idletalkpod@gmail.com. And we also have our content directory, idletalkpod.uwu.ai, where you'll see previous episodes categorized, playlists, song recommendations, concert and K-drama reviews, and information about us. And it could be found on our episode description here. Well, until next time, we will talk to you all later. And good night and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. I'm Vivian Yoon. Listen to K-pop Dreaming from Elias Studios. I grew up in Koreatown in the 90s, and my friends and I could not get enough of K-pop.
Do you remember SES?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Come true. So how did the music that only Korean and Korean Americans listen to become a global cultural force? And what role did LA and Koreatown play in K-pop's rise? K-pop Dreaming. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.